Will you read with me, please? In the Gospel according to John, chapter 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1. We'll begin at verse 25. This has to do with John the Baptist, who was being questioned many things by the leaders of the Jews. Verse 25 of chapter 1. And they asked him and said, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not." There standeth one among you, whom ye know not. It is very common in the halls in which God's people gather to have that text on it. "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." May I ask you as a brother, kindly and directly from my heart, do you know him better today than you did a year ago? Or would John have to say of us, "There's one among you, you believe in his presence, you quote Matthew 18 and 20, but are you acquainted with him? Do you know him better this year than you knew him last year? How many years has Christ been your Savior? Are you growing in the knowledge of Christ? Are you growing in a likeness?" As I ask these questions to you, I apply them to my own heart. It's for all of us. And so John answers them when they ask him, "Who art thou? Why are you baptizing?" He said, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not." And we continue reading. "He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." John's testimony. There was a time when I did not know him. John the Baptist did not know Jesus. John spent his time in the desert. He knew about him. He must have heard about him. He was not personally acquainted with him. Many of us from childhood knew about Jesus. There came a day or a night when we trusted him as Savior. One of the saddest sights that I see, brethren, is when some of my brethren give their testimony. That is when I see a smile on their face and a happiness that I don't see any other time. What has happened? 20, 30, 40 years have gone by. But when they recall the time of their conversion, that's when the joy is reflected in their heart. Are we not growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? We have John's testimony to disciples. We'll read farther down, verse 35. And the next day after, John stood and saw, and two of his disciples. And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. The first message did not draw them to him. The second one did. They saw him as he walked. They heard John's words. And they approached the Savior himself and said, Where dwellest thou? Come and see. What a glorious day that must have been. They spent the day with him. And as a result of it, verse 40 says, One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. His name was changed. Peter never forgot that. And Peter wrote about stones afterwards too. When the person finds the Savior, they go and look for others to bring them to him. When those are brought, their names are changed. Now Cephas must have understood the meaning of this. How many Old Testament illustrations of people whose names were changed? King of Babylon changed three men's names, didn't he? And thus other names were changed. Your name and mine were changed as well when we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. What does the Lord Jesus himself say about John? See, John soon drops out of the picture. Perhaps we should look at it in chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 26. Some of them came unto John the Baptist, and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, Jesus, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. Now John did not understand anything about the church and the church being the bride, nor the Lord being the bridegroom of the church. Let's not read into it what he didn't have. But he said, The friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. They understood the illustration. And speaking of the Lord Jesus, he said, He must increase, but I must decrease. John the Baptist disappears from view here in John's Gospel. I must decrease, but he must increase. Many, many years ago, before we ever went to Chile, I drove away from a town in Connecticut somewhere, I don't remember where, somewhere in New England States, early in the morning while it was dark, driving a car with the lights on. And then the sun began to come up, and at the same moment I saw a sign advertising, I don't remember what, but the sign said, a change for the better. what a change for the better. When we begin to grow in the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when His person, His holiness, His love are reflected in our lives, a change for the better. And so John is going to disappear, but he has already spoken to Andrew's brother. He has already said, your name is Cephas. Your son's name is Simon. But he said, your name is going to be Cephas, a stone. And so one man who has been a witness for the Lord passes away. We read no more of John in the Gospel according to John, but a new man comes in. And this man is Simon Peter. And we keep reading about him as we go through the New Testament. Do you remember how Peter closes his second epistle? But grow. Grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The last words of an old man who has grown, who has lived for the Lord, and he's passing away. The normal Christian life, I say a normal Christian life, consists in a constant growth in the knowledge of the person of the Lord Jesus. This is going to be our chief joy. This is going to be our chief joy and occupation in heaven. The years we have down here should be spent getting to know Him better and better. My mind goes back to a prayer meeting down in the city where we lived in Chile. Some of the sisters spoke to me afterwards and spoke to me about a young woman who was there. Her name was Saviola. They said, has Saviola told you that she is going to be married on Tuesday? This was Friday night. Saviola had recently been converted. She was a bright Christian. Has she told you that she's being married on Tuesday? I said, no. And so I invited her to a little room at the end of the hall there. We sat down. She said, Hector and I are to be baptized on Tuesday. This was Friday evening. He had never come to a meeting. We didn't know him. So I turned to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I asked her to read a few verses there. I don't think I need to tell you the subject of 2 Corinthians 6, do I? Be not unequally yoked with. She read it carefully, said thank you, and left the building. And what happened? She was not married the next Tuesday. But the man who was interested in marrying her began to attend meetings. He'd come in, listen to the gospel, and leave. And after attending several times, came back in. He said, look, it's not possible to be saved and sure of it, is it? I said, sit down. I turned to John's Gospel. We read a few verses. He said, thank you, the same as she did. And he walked out. But he kept on coming and coming and coming. And the happy day came when he was converted. And we had the joy of being at their wedding. And I can still see that dear brother getting up after a breaking of bread meeting one Sunday. His face was beaming. He came over to me. He said, I'm reading in Hebrews these days, and it's all about Him. That was the joy of God's salvation. It's grand to see Him. And every weekend I'm praying for Him and the Sunday school class that He has, the older young people. What a change. Because she was obedient to the Word of God. And he was reached by her obedience. And he came and took in the gospel, trusted the Savior, and began to serve Him. Our Lord speaks in Matthew, chapter 8, 11, and what does He say? Well, you say in Matthew chapter 11, you're probably thinking about verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's only part of it. What does it say after that? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? Can you put two animals of different sizes and strength in a yoke and will they work together? That's what we're finding here. Obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ means that we can work with Him. We can be useful for Him. That's what God desires of us. So let us be practical this afternoon. You may look back 30, 40, 50 years of conversion. But brother, are you in the yoke with Him? Are you enjoying communion with Him? Oh, it's so sad when the only time I see a smile on a brother's face is when he gets up and gives his testimony. There's a secret here. Now the experiential knowledge of Peter. I want you to think of some of the experiences this dear man had as he grew in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. He tells us, for example, and I'm going to look at some of these examples. He tells us in Mark, he said, I knew him not. But then he tells us how the Lord came to the town in which he and others were living. And he went into the synagogue and he taught. And he cast out an unclean spirit. Oh, says Peter, I've never seen anyone do this. And they go home to Andrew's house, or Simon's wife's mother, and she had a great fever. Luke, the physician, said it was a great fever. And the Lord takes her by the hand and raises her up. What is Peter doing? He's growing in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We turn the page, and we find that a man is carried by four others, and he's put in a crowded room where the Lord is teaching. And what happens? And the Lord saw their faith, and he said, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there are religious people there, and they're saying, who is this who can forgive sins but God only? And the Lord says to the man, rise up. Take that stretcher on which you're lying. And the man stands up and walks off with the stretcher that carried him. Peter is learning. He can not only cast out unclean spirits. He can not only heal diseases. He can forgive sins. That is the beginning of Peter's acquaintance with our Lord Jesus Christ. Later on, he's going to have other experiences. We think of what we read in Matthew's Gospel. There's a storm on the sea. The disciples are at their wits' end, and they see Jesus coming, walking on the water. Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me go to thee upon the water. The first thing Christians say, yeah, he tried to walk on the water, but he went down. Peter walked on the water. Now, don't read of anyone else that ever did it. So don't be too hard on Peter. It may bounce back at you. Peter walked on the water. But when he saw how the waves were raging, he took his eyes off the Lord. The Lord took him by the hand and put him right back in the ship. Yeah? You and I are not quite so stalwart as we pretend to be sometimes. But Peter walks on the water. The Word of God says it. And he found that when he needed the Lord was not far away. Peter had other experiences later on. The time was coming for the Lord's death. And I read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. The Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art restored, strengthen thy brethren. And Simon Peter, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And the Lord looks him in the eyes. I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Still sure of himself. this was going to be the hardest experience Peter had ever had. And Peter denies his Lord. And the Lord looks at Peter. And when our Lord rises from among the dead, go and tell Peter. Our Lord had a private interview with Peter. After that, he seemingly had a more public one. And we read that he's speaking to Peter. And he says to Peter, Peter's evading me right now. Where are you, Peter? John chapter 1. Here we are. Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Ever had experiences like that? He loved the Lord. But salvation is not just conversion. Our whole life afterwards is a process of education, teaching us what we are in ourselves, getting us to appreciate what our Lord is in Himself. Peter speaks to us. He said, you know, the first time, he told me who I was and what I would become. There's a man down in the city where we lived in Chile, and that's his exact testimony. He said, that's all I understood when I took in the gospel. I understood what I was and what I would become. The second time, Peter said, when he called me to follow him, I didn't know exactly all that was involved in that call. But he said, I had confidence in him, and I obeyed his call. That takes me right back to July of 1949, 4 years after my conversion. When the Lord laid it upon my heart to leave my employment, and he took me up to New Brunswick with Isaac McMullen in the winter time. He had me down in Georgia with Gordon Rieger in the summertime. His leading is not the way human leading is. But one thing I knew, he has my confidence that that's where he's taking me. That's where I'm going. So I learned a bit from Peter himself. Peter said, I committed many mistakes. I was very impulsive. I was sure of myself. Another thing, on one occasion I dared to contradict my Lord. He was telling me that he was going to suffer and he's going to die. And I said, not so, Lord. Is it not for you? You can read it in your Bible. Why, Peter said, if he hadn't died, I would never have been saved. My sins would never have been forgiven. On another occasion, when he was going to wash my feet, what did I say to him? Thou shalt never wash my feet. Imagine me saying that to the Lord of glory, the Son of God. Thou shalt never wash my feet. That's the way Peter learned. May I apply it with a bit of Christian love? Do we, as often as our feet need to be washed, do we allow the Lord to do it? Do we recognize our coldness, our worldliness? Do we get to the book? Do we say, Lord, my feet need to be washed. And you're the only one that can do it. My last words for you, says Peter, he's an old man now. grow in grace. It's the end of his second epistle. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Take his yoke upon you and learn of him. In Peter's last recorded words, to him be glory both now and ever. Amen. The Lord bless to your hearts his precious words.